It's good to just know it as we start this year of Lent. We call it year A. There's like a three-year cycle. This year is the readings that you prepare someone to get baptized with. In other words, they're the most important and kind of central message of all of the gospel. There's something key to the gospels that we're going to read this year in Lent. Without them, we can't understand what it means to really become Christian, okay? And so I think that's just really important because I feel like sometimes we miss that. Like a lot of us were raised Catholic. You baptize your kids, you bring them to your first communion, you get them confirmed, and whew, they get married in the church, and then you get anointed before you die. You hatch, match, and dispatch. Boom, it's done, you know? Like, that's the faith, right? And there's something missing. That actually, what the apostles are writing about is more than that. There's, I'm going to call it today, a friendship with Jesus that they have. A being with him. I've encouraged you to stay with Jesus. Today we get to go up with him up the mountain. It's better than the desert, you know, right? So the first verses, it says that Jesus took Peter, James, and John, and they went up a high mountain by themselves. And that's where I want you to start today, to really enter into this part of Jesus' life that you are invited into today. Being alone with Jesus. Taking the effort to go up this mountain. It was a high mountain. It's a rather steep Mount Tabor. And being up there and just being with him. The closest, the affection, the view, the vista that's there. Just all of that part of being with Jesus up there. And so I actually want to begin here just by pausing for a moment. And I want you just to be with Jesus. Because we can be distracted by the babies in front of us and the thoughts in our head and all kinds of our family and friends, whatever. So just take a moment right now. We're just going to pause and just call to mind that Jesus is with you. You're with him. He wanted his closest friends to be with him, to see what they saw. That move that you just did right now, that move is necessary to be a Christian in our lives. That turning to him. Every time that you pray, that's what's happening. I know that oftentimes family life is crazy and busy all over the place. But whether you're able to take that holy hour I talked about or even just a few minutes when you stop and you turn your heart to him, this is what's happening. Jesus is drawing you to himself. You're being up alone with him there on the mountain, okay? It's so important. That friendship with Jesus is key to what it means to be Christian. Without that, none of the rest of what we're doing here today makes sense. That closeness, that affection that the apostles had with Jesus. Their Lord, their Master, their friend. That's meant to be our relationship with him. But I also want to say here today that friendship with Jesus is a very particular friendship. All right? It's different than other friendships that we have. So there's something that's similar, but there's something that's different, right? Because Jesus is God. He's the Son of God. We're commanded by the Father today to listen to him. You know, with other friends, friendship is one of the greatest blessings of our life. In fact, I once made some friends climbing up a mountain, so it fits really well with today's reading. We were going up, a cousin and a few others, and we just became very close on that hike going up. And for many years, we stayed in contact with each other, and we just had a beautiful friendship. But our friends in this life will come and go. I don't call them anymore, and that's okay. But our friends, they come to get to know us in a very deep way oftentimes. They really care about us. And so we listen to our friends. We tell them about things. And their information, their input is very important. It helps us to understand ourselves and to make good decisions. But in the end, I still have to make my own decision. Otherwise, it's not a healthy friendship. Right? But with Jesus, it's different, you see. When I was going up the mountain with my friends, their face didn't start to shine with the glory of God, all right? They were different than Jesus. When the apostles went up, their friend's face began to shine with the glory of God. Heaven broke through. Like, the veil was lifted. They had seen Jesus. They believed he was the Son of God. But the veil was lifted, and they saw him actually as he is. They experienced that he's the Son of God. Not just like said it. And then the Father's voice, they heard him speak. God the Father spoke in an audible voice to them. They heard his words. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. You know, when they came down the mountain, Jesus told them, he says, don't tell this to anybody until after I've risen from the dead. But at a certain point, they not only told people, they wrote it down. Why? For us. So that we could actually share the same experience that they shared. And so we go up the mountain with Jesus today. They knew, they had experienced, it changed the way they saw Jesus. That not only is he close, not only do we know his love, but we also know that he's God. That other friends know parts of me, but this friend, he knows everything about me. He has lived every moment of my life with me. Every inside, outside, everything he knows. Down to the deepest part of my DNA, he knows it better than any medical or scientific study knows. He knows it. And so friendship with Jesus is different because he's the Son of God. In fact, this friendship is what defines our life. You know, it's something you can put on your tombstone, right? She was a friend of God. And that says everything that you need to know about her. She was a friend of God. Think about that for a moment. How can you say that about your life? Is that what you can say? You know, I want to focus on this a little bit, you know, just think about that. I think it can be helpful. We talk about heaven a lot. We want our loved ones to go to heaven. There's actually been a lot of deaths recently again. You kind of go through those cycles, right? Many of you have experienced that. We want them to be in heaven. Well, what is heaven? What do we mean by that? Heaven is nothing more than friendship with Jesus forever. That's what heaven is. So if that's not what I desire in heaven, then I don't yet desire heaven perfectly. I want those I love to be in friendship with Jesus forever. That's what I want for them. There's nothing better than that. Experiencing being there with Jesus, that closeness, that affection, up on the mountain, everything else falls away. That's the only thing that matters. It puts everything in perspective. I want that forever, Jesus. You know, we will be reunited with our loved ones. Absolutely. I can't wait to be with my dad and my brother again, right? We will be healed of all the sufferings and the cancer and the disease and everything else. And our bodies made perfect again. We can do what we couldn't do as you get older and frustrated at yourself. Absolutely. Those things are beautiful and good. But the difference, this is a stark way of putting it, but just to put it there, the difference between heaven and hell is friendship with Jesus. See, that's why this is a reading of Lent. Because it has to do with salvation, actually. To be a friend of Jesus, that is eternal life. Because he's the one who saves me. He's the one who heals me. He's the one who forgives my sins. He's the one who makes me an adopted son or daughter of God for all of eternity to live with the Father. When Peter, James, and John went up the mountain, all of a sudden they found themselves with Moses and Elijah. That's amazing. They were with them. They said, I don't want to leave here. It's so good. Friendship with Jesus connects us with everyone in heaven. Right now, in friendship with Jesus, you are connected to everybody in heaven because they're all here and you're here. The apostles, they experienced this. It changed the way they saw Jesus so much that at some point they wrote it down so that we could also know it. That friendship with Jesus is everything. And that's why the Father's last words today are, listen to him. And I want to focus there for the rest of the homily. Listen to him. We can only be a friend of Jesus if we listen to him. In fact, at the Last Supper, Jesus told his apostles in John, he said, "You are my friends. You are no longer just my servants. I call you friends. You are my friends," he said, "if you do what I command you." No other friend can say that, all right? That would be an unhealthy friendship. You have to do what I command you. I can't even tell you I can command you to do anything. But Jesus can. This friend can because he's the Son of God, okay? We have to be totally, completely convinced that Jesus knows what is good for me. And because he knows me better than I know myself, I have to listen to him even more than I listen to my own thoughts. I have to believe what he says even more than I believe my own decision-making process. Because he actually knows me better than I know myself. And he's able to save me, but only if I listen and obey. In love, in friendship, but with the Son of God. And so listen to him. How? Read the Bible, read the catechism. Why did they write it? So that we could know it, what he says. Father Mike Schmitz is doing that podcast, the catechism in a year this year. If you're listening to it, he starts every podcast by saying the same thing. Where we discover God's plan of sheer goodness for us, revealed in scripture and passed down through the tradition of the Catholic faith. Yeah. Listen to him. He says so many beautiful things. Mother Teresa, she once said, "How could you go even one day without hearing him say to you, 'I love you. You belong to me. You are mine. You are good. You are my son, my daughter, and you I am pleased.'" Like, this breaks so many lies that we believe about ourselves and our life. Listen to him. He speaks truth to you. He says many beautiful things. He also says many challenging things. Jesus doesn't hold back. He speaks truth to us because he's God and he wants what is good, truly good for us. So he's not afraid to tell us true things. And so many times those things he tells us are not what the world tells us. It's so easy to listen to what the world is saying to us and convince ourselves that we're listening to God. We do it all the time, right? We're really good at complicating things so that I can believe what I want to believe. But the Father is just simple. He simply says, "Listen to him," period. The world is not God. Jesus is, all right? So listen to him. "You are my friends if you keep my commandments. In them you will be a friend of God and find freedom. But if you break them, then you are not a friend of God." We can lose that friendship when we do not listen to him and follow his commandments. That's why we call serious sins mortal sins. Mortal. Because they destroy friendship with Jesus. That's the point. You know, we often think, well, what does that mean? What does a mortal sin mean? It's not always easy to know. I haven't killed anybody, right? There's many different things you could think of, but maybe just a couple examples can help you. Like, how do I think about that? Different than what the world says. Number one, pornography goes directly in a serious way against the commandment of Jesus. Because Jesus said, even if you look at a woman with lust, you have committed adultery with her in your heart. It's a serious, a grave sin against what Jesus speaks very clearly. Skipping Sunday Mass of my own fault. Missing a holy day of obligation of my own fault. It's seriously going against a direct commandment, the third commandment, to keep holy the Sabbath day in a serious way. And therefore, it's a grave sin. Now, only God can judge. Only he knows what I've internalized, all the circumstances. Those things matter. Only God can be a judge of things, right? But I want to show you, it's not about following rules. It's about listening to him. And following him or not following him. That's the choices we're making. I know it's hard. Because it's so common around us. God knows it's hard. But at the same time, his words are not confusing or complicated. What he said is clear. And so listen to him. You know, if we have sinned, like every single one of us have, then please keep listening to him. He talks about that too. The very first words Jesus ever preached, the words we started Lent with, in fact, repent and believe in the good news that you have salvation in me. And so repent, listen to him. If that's where you're at and you need to do that, turn to Jesus, turn your life, turn back to him and ask his forgiveness. He's more than willing to offer it because he will remain a friend to us even when we deny and go against him, okay? Remember in the upper room when Jesus appeared right after he arose from the dead, one of the very first things he told his apostles, peace be with you and receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. When you forgive sins, they will be forgiven. Listen to him. What that means is that when you come to the apostolic church, the power of the apostles in confession, and you confess your sins, they are forgiven you. And so let's listen to Jesus today. They wrote these things down for us. So that we could share in the same thing that they saw. Okay? So this week, I invite you to stay with Jesus on the mountain. To be there, know that closeness, know that affection that he has for you. Let your love for him grow. Not just being caught in the craziness and the busyness, but being drawn into a deep friendship with our Lord. And hear the Father's words, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Listen to him. And so as we pause at the end of the homily, as we do every week, maybe just end the way we started. Let yourself go there again for a moment. Whatever has stirred in your heart during this homily, just take a moment and just be with Jesus in friendship, listening to him.